1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 5. And I'm going to read actually a good portion of this scripture here this morning, so we can learn a little bit more about evangelism. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read. This is what God's Word says here, starting with verse 5. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All are yours. And you are all Christ, and Christ is of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, there's a lot of scripture that we read here this morning, and we need to digest all this, Lord, and just kind of get some word from your Spirit as to how this impacts our lives. Father, you have brought me here to Beech Grove to present your word to your people. And Father, I humble myself before you and just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, they will be pleasing to you here this morning. That I speak and not ramble on. That I speak but say what needs to be said. So, Father, you will be glorified in the end. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. What I thought was just going to be a very short series, we are now in week number 6, I believe. Maybe this is week number 7 of evangelism. Evangelism. We go out into the world and we share Jesus Christ with unbelievers. And that's why we have a whole basket full of names up there of people that need saved. We want to see salvation in their lives. We want them to see and have eternal life like we do. And maybe it'll be us that will present and bring that gospel message, that good news of Jesus Christ to those people. And maybe it might be somebody else. But it is certainly all of our duties to do so in some way, shape, or form, how the Lord has given us talents to do that. Real briefly, let's just go over the first 7 that we already talked about. They're already outlined in your bulletin. In our efforts, we go into our efforts of evangelism, understanding that it is a command. We are supposed to do this. Number 2, we can't make exceptions to who we witness to. So we must witness to everyone without exception. Number 3, We may experience persecution to some degree, so please don't be afraid of going into an evangelistic encounter. Number four, we only plant in water, but it's God that makes it grow, and kind of read that here again this morning. We go into evangelism understanding that not everyone would get saved. Remember, we are not responsible for the other person's heart. We're just responsible for telling them. Number six, Jesus' sheep will hear His voice. And that's why it's so important that when we share the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that we get it right. We get the message right. That what we say, we let them know of the gospel that will save. Romans 1:16. It is the gospel that has the power unto salvation for those who believe. And then the one last one that we talked about last week, it's important that we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, go here or speak to that person. If we feel that nudging, that gentle nudging, or whatever, however He does it, we need to do that. We need to follow His leading. And sometimes, like He told Paul in the book of Acts, chapter 16, sometimes He says, don't go there. Don't go there. Maybe He has some other plans or some other reasons for that. So when He says go, we need to go. And when He says stay, we need to stay. So that leads us to our last two final fill-in-the-blanks that we have in our bulletin. And actually, we've had them in there for 4 weeks now. We're finally going to get around to answering them here this morning. And let's see how we will answer those. The next one would be this. And actually, we've already read the scripture reading. So I'm just going to go right into the fill-in-the-blank and let's fill this one in. We go into our efforts of evangelism understanding that we will be rewarded according to our efforts. That's the word that is used here in 1 Corinthians. Actually, Paul uses it twice. He uses it in verse 8, where he says, each one will be rewarded according to his own labor. And he uses it again in verse number 14. He says, if what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of a reward, I think of, I must have done something good, and therefore I'm going to get a reward for that. Because I've done something good, it's a reward, it's something good. But I kind of get the impression a little bit here that maybe we don't do as well. And our reward is not going to be gold or silver or precious stones. Maybe our efforts of evangelism aren't that great. And the reward, using the terms that Paul uses, the reward that we get will only be wood or hay or straw, which we read is just going to get burned up. So the question to all of us is this: how good are our efforts of evangelism? How well do we do evangelism? We know this, it is a command, we are to do it. But when the day comes, as it says there in verse number 13, when the day comes, and I'll explain that here in a second, what will we receive? Will we receive gold, silver, precious stones for a job well done? Or will we receive wood or hay or straw? Maybe not that great of a reward after all, something that would just get burned up in the fire. Paul uses the word reward. I'm going to take just a little bit of spiritual liberty here, and I hope this is okay, to use another word. And maybe this word is appropriate, maybe it isn't, but I'm going to use it anyways. Instead of rewarded, maybe we're going to be graded. We're going to be graded on how well we do evangelism. How well do we do out there doing the Great Commission? Now remember, we're all gifted in different ways. Some of us have the gift of, when we go on out, of speech, where we go on out and just share the gospel message with others. And I believe we all have that to some degree. Some of us have the gift through financial means, where we give of our tithes and offerings, and we use that money to buy Bibles and send them other places. Some of us have the gift of prayer, and we pray for people, which means we don't have a direct encounter with that person, but it's still a form of evangelism in some way. We pray for them. But how do we do out there? How do we do out there? And to to give a good analogy for this, I'm going to tell a story. It's story time. Story time with Pastor Mike. Let's turn back the hands of time to 1967. It's 1967, and Mike Owen just started ninth grade at Brentwood High School. Okay? Ninth grade at Brentwood High School. My ninth grade English teacher was a lady by the name of Miss Todorov. Miss Todorov was a good English teacher. I enjoyed her. But we had this one boy in the class. His name was Mike Carroll. Mike Carroll. Mike Carroll was just one of the... Everybody has a Mike Carroll in one of their classes at some point in time. Mike Carroll was one of those guys. He'd come into class and no sooner sit down and had put his head in his arms like this and down, and just like it was lights out. But Mike Carroll was a very smart individual. Mike Carroll aced all the tests. He did. It's just like, how can you ace the test when you're sleeping in class? But Mike Carroll was a pretty smart guy. Well, Miss Todorov would assign homework to us pretty much every night. And the next morning when it came English class time, Miss Todorov would say, pass your homework forward. And everyone would pass their homework forward except for Mike Carroll. Mike Carroll never did his homework. He never did it. And every time Miss Todorov would ask, Mr. Carroll, where's your homework? And it got to the point where it got to be amusing, because every day Mike Carroll would come up with the most absurd of excuses. Every day. And I swear he did it just to make the class laugh. Well, one day, it was time to pass in your homework, and everyone's passing their homework forward, except for Mike Carroll, and Miss Todorov says this, Mr. Carroll, where's your homework? And Mike Carroll come up with some kind of flimsy excuse why he didn't have his homework. And I remember Miss Todorov said something along these lines. She said, Mr. Carroll, I want you to know this, and this really goes for everyone in the class, that every 6 weeks you're going to get a report card. And on that report card, you're going to get a grade for what you do in the English class. Part of your grade is going to be based on your test scores. But Mr. Carroll, part of your grade is going to be based on your homework. You can do really well here in class, but if you don't turn in your homework, you're never going to pass. How well do we do out there? Oh, we can come into church and be really good Christian people now, can't we? We can sit in the pews and pray and give money and do all this stuff. But there's a great commission. There's a commission for all of us to go on out there into this world and share the gospel message with people. How are you doing? How am I doing? When we have those promptings of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit says, you need to go and talk with that person, if you feel that nudging, do you go? Or do you say, you know what, I might experience some persecution here, or you know, that person's an exception, I don't know if I want to do this. Well, Miss Todorov says you get graded on your homework. God's Word says this, you get graded on your evangelism. You'll get rewarded. So how are you going to be rewarded? With gold? Silver? Precious stones? Or wood? And hay? And straw? Which will get burned up. A couple other points I just want to make before we get to our last fill in the blank. I want to say these things. And in verse number 11 it says this. He talks about the foundation. And this is really important. He says, the foundation of evangelism is Christ. It's Christ. If you're going to go on out there and witness to somebody, you got to make sure that a good, solid foundation is set. And that kind of gets back to our point of number 6, where he says, Jesus' sheep will hear His voice, because it's important that we tell people the truth about God's Word, that we share Jesus Christ, His death, His resurrection, the things that will save a person. Remember, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that the Father from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. We've got to make sure they hear that, and they understand that. And that's the foundation that we need to build on. The second thing I'd like to point out is this. And maybe I'm stretching this one, and that's okay. Maybe because we're going to be rewarded for this or graded on it, then I would say this. It's expected. It's expected. If I'm going to receive a grade or I'm going to receive a reward, and in the end, God's going to either give me one of these three things over here or wood, hay, and straw over here, obviously I'm expected to do something. So we're all expected to do our work of evangelism, and it will be graded and rewarded accordingly, according to our efforts. But he says this here in verse number 13. He says this, his work, her work, will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. What does that mean, the day? It will be tested because for what it is because of the day. I just want to go there real quick, just to kind of tie up a loose end here to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What does that mean? I'm going to read just one verse here from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, to talk about this day that he's talking about. And I'm not going to get into it with much detail, but enough that we kind of understand the point. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. There will come a time in eternity, and I don't know exactly all the, I don't have all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted here, when Christians will be judged. Now let me assure you of this, not according to our sin, because our sin has been covered by the blood of Jesus, okay? We are forgiven. We are forgiven. Christ is our intercessor. When God the Father sees us as believers, it's like he's seeing Christ. Our sins have been covered. So what are we getting judged on? It says the judgment seat of Christ, that we're going to receive what is due him. Well, on that day in eternity, we're going to get judged by what we do as Christians, by what we do. How well did we do this Christian thing? And I know that that encompasses a whole lot, but let's just narrow it down to one thing right now. Evangelism. How well will we get judged, graded, rewarded on the day in eternity for what we do in our work of evangelism out there in our hurting world that needs to hear what we know and have what we have. So, our efforts are going to be judged. Okay, so, we do know that, so let's move on to the very last fill in the blank, and then we'll kind of wrap this thing up, the first part of evangelism. And I'm just going to read just a couple verses that I've already read this morning. Let's get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 7, and then I'm going to read 21 through 23. Verse 7 says this, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. And then again, some more supporting scripture, moving over to verse 21, it says this, so then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are all Christ, and Christ is of God. Our fill in the blank would say this, we go into our efforts of evangelism understanding that we cannot boast about our work. We cannot boast about our work. Now, wait a second. If it's something that I have to do, and I go out there and I do it well, why can't I boast about it? Good answer for that. Because God's Word tells us, don't boast. Here's a real good reason. It says not to. Not boast about it. But isn't that the human condition? The human condition, which pride is one of those many, many different flaws that we have. We want to be proud about what we do. We want to be proud of the fact that we put money in the collection basket. We want to be proud of the fact that we prayed and for so-and-so and then so-and-so got saved. We want to be proud of the fact that we went and had this evangelistic encounter with Jane Doe or John Doe, and by golly, they got saved right there on the spot. We just kind of want to make our feathers just pop out and fly now, don't we? We just want to say, look at what I did for the Lord. But God's Word says this. We can't boast. We can't boast. We're just being obedient. We're just doing what we were told to do. Remember Jonah, the prophet from the Old Testament? Actually, it was about a year ago, I think we spent like 9 weeks in the book of Jonah. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and preach to those people. Jonah says, nuh-uh, you want me to go that way? Sorry, I'm going this way. Well, through a series of circumstances that we all are familiar with, Jonah ends up in Nineveh. Jonah takes a three-day tour through the city of Nineveh, and he preaches. He says, 8 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. That's all he says. And what happens to the city of Nineveh? The greatest revival recorded in Old Testament history. The whole city of Nineveh gets saved. 120,000 people, it says. Don't know if each and every one of them got saved, but let's pretend like a whole bunch of them got saved. And here's Jonah going through the town, and he preaches. People get saved. Now, Jonah might have had his flaws. He might have been a little stubborn, and he might not wanted to go. But I'll tell you one thing he had right. I guarantee he never boasted about what he did. As a matter of fact, he was upset. He was upset that those people got saved. He didn't want them to get saved. He didn't like those people. He never read bullet number two. We cannot make exceptions of who we witness to. But he never boasted about what he did. If there's one thing we can learn from Jonah, we can learn that example. He just went through and did what the Lord told him to do. He might not have liked it, but he never boasted about it. At least he got that part of it right. Another point about boasting. I want to take you back to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17 and just read a couple verses from Luke 17 that Jesus tells his disciples at this time. Luke 17, starting with verse 7. He says this, "Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down and eat'? Would he not rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink.' Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say," some great words here, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." When we go into evangelism, we have to have that servant's heart about us, that we're getting the nudging of the Holy Spirit, we're going where He wants us to go, and we're doing this because this is where God wants us and has planted us and put the people in front of us. And we're only doing it because we are, as Jesus says, unworthy servants, and we've only done our duty. We can't boast about doing what we're supposed to do because that's what we're supposed to do. One more scripture verse, and you can go there if you like, 2 Corinthians 4:4. We talked about this at one time. The jars of clay. Remember that Paul says that we are just jars of clay, but inside that jar we have this very precious diamond, this message of Jesus Christ. Comparing us to jars of clay means that we are nothing, but what's inside us and what we have is everything. Again, jars of clay were used for very common purposes. And what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 4:4 is this, we are just common people going out there, but we share this message that we have inside us because it shows, as 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, it shows the all-surpassing power of God. and that that power is from God. And He's the one who gets the glory. He's the one who gets the praise. I'm going to finish by telling one more story. I didn't have this in my notes until Thursday because this story I'm about to tell you happened on Thursday, coming home from work. In my former church, there was a lady who showed up one Sunday. Her name was Nancy. Nancy was a few years younger than me, but she was pursuing religion, some kind of spirituality. You could tell Nancy was not saved. But Nancy had started coming to church on a regular basis. She was in one of my evening Bible classes. She started coming to my Sunday morning Sunday school class. And she would show up at church every Sunday. You could tell Nancy was kind of growing in her faith. One day when I was at church during the week, Nancy calls me up and says, "Mike, are you going to be in the office?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "I'd like to stop by. I need to talk to you." I said, "Come on by, Nancy." She didn't live far away. She was there in a few minutes. So we got into this conversation, and she wanted to know about salvation. And by golly, lo and behold, right there on that day, in that moment in time, she confessed Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And there was a new creature in Christ. Well, this past Thursday, I was thinking about Nancy. I decided to give her a call. So I'm driving home from work, and I'm on my cell phone, and I got Nancy on the phone. And so, "Nancy, how are things? How's life?" Well, life wasn't too good with Nancy at this point in time. She said, "Both of my sons are back in the Middle River Regional Jail. Back in the Middle River Regional Jail. I'm raising my granddaughter." She says, "I'm holding down two jobs, and life is difficult, and I'm not even going to church like I should." So she was telling me all these things, and I said, "Nancy, let me ask you an important question. If you died right now, would you go to heaven?" And the whole conversation changed. And she said, "Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior." She said, "He means everything to me." And she went through this whole thing of this whole plan of salvation, just as if her and I were still just sitting there on that morning and going over all these things. And you could tell that it was affirmed in her heart of where her heart was and where her belief system was. Even though life has dealt her over the last couple of years some pretty bad cards, she still knew who she was and who she belonged to. Well, I got off the phone, and here's what happened. The first thing I thought of was, "Good job, Mike." "Good job, Mike. Remember that day many years ago when Nancy came into the office and she sat there with you and you presented the gospel message to her and she gave her life to Jesus Christ right there in front of you? My goodness, Mike, what a good job that you did." And I couldn't help thinking, that's point number 9. "Mike, you idiot. Quit boasting. Quit boasting. Mike, listen to your sermon, will you? This is what you're going to say on Sunday morning. You can't boast about doing God's work. We are only servants of the Lord." I had to share that story because even in our excitement of going out and witnessing to people and seeing them come to the Lord, we have to still remember that we are just clay pots, and all the surpassing power all comes in the glory of what God does through us. And it's not us. We are just servants. And all the glory goes to whom? God. God gets all the glory. As I've written here, I said, sometimes we just need to get out of the way and let God work through us. So God kind of smacked me around a couple times on that way home after I got off that phone call with Nancy and said, "Mike, who orchestrated that whole thing. I just used you to deliver the gospel message. Mike, remember what you're preaching about? It's almost as if he took this and just put it right in my face. But we have to remember, the power is not in us. We just do what we are told to do. In your bulletins on the insights part, I have some things that happened in the book of Acts. And they're listed there. And let me just, you can read that sometime either later today or during the week. Let me just show you what happens when you do those nine things and you do them well and you do them according to God's plan. Acts 1:15 started with 120 people in the upper room. Acts 2, verse 41, 3,000 people get saved. Acts 2, verse 47, the Lord added daily to their numbers. Acts chapter 4, the number went up to 5,000. Acts chapter 5, verse 14, more and more men and women were getting saved. Acts chapter 6, verse 7, the number increased rapidly and the priests were getting saved. Acts chapter 9, verse 31, the church grew in numbers. Acts chapter 12, verse 24, the good news of the gospel increased and spread. Acts chapter 16, verse 5, the church grew daily in numbers. Acts chapter 17, verse 12, many Jews and Greeks believed. Acts chapter 19, verse 20, the good news spread widely and grew in power. My friends, I put this before each and every one of us. If the book of Acts was still being written, what would it say about us at Beach Grove? I hope we would have numbers like this. I hope it would say something like, you know, Acts chapter 2 million, verse 13. Those folks from Beach Grove went out into the world. And they knew it was a command. And they knew that they might face persecution. And they knew that everyone that they evangelized was not necessarily going to get saved. But they knew that if they proclaimed the Word of God, God would do His part and make it grow. And they did all this by following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Oh, and then verse 14. And none of them boasted about what was done. Because, verse 15, all the glory went to God. Now that's my imaginary Acts chapter 1 million, verses 13 through 15. But wouldn't that be great? If that when each and every one of us gets to the day that God's going to tell each and every one of us, here's your gold, here's your silver, here's your precious stones. And that no one that's a Christian sitting in here this morning will say, here's your wood, here's your straw, here's your hay. Because this stuff gets burnt up. This stuff goes through the test of fire and holds strong. We have work to do. 2 months ago, it's been 2 months now, I told you that I had an evangelistic encounter with my brother and his wife, and I said, I'm going to share that with you. That was 2 months ago. Next week, I'll start the story, and we'll go from there. Let's go to God in prayer.